People were bringing little children to Jesus in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke to them sternly. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The Gospel of the Lord. It is a joy and a privilege to be with you all today. I bring you greetings from Luther Seminary, where it's our vocation to help prepare the next generation of Christian public leaders for innovative ministry in the church and world. And particularly, my call has to do with teaching stewardship, or how we manage what God has entrusted to our care. That includes money, possessions, and it also includes pets and animals and all of God's creation. So if I hear any barking during this sermon, I will interpret it as a loud amen, so I welcome it. So. Today's gospel lesson is one of those classics. Perhaps you're like me and it reminds you of some artistic renderings or paintings. My first call was in a rural congregation up in Hallock, Minnesota, and the nursery there in this congregation was painted with a large mural. And it's of this passage. It was Jesus on the wall with arms out wide, welcoming the little children and blessing them. It seems to me this passage begs interpretation on at least two levels. First, there's the plain reading. Jesus welcomes the children. Especially in Jesus' time, children were particularly vulnerable. Children can't care for themselves, after all. Children can't fight off diseases like adults. Children in Jesus' day also had none of that societal cred we give kids, thinking they're cute and cuddly. That wasn't a thing back then. And even so, Jesus sternly speaks to the disciples who sought to keep the children away from him. He said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs." So in the plainest reading of the text, we can safely say Jesus would have us care for children. And we can work for safe places for children to play, for affordable childcare, for strong, high-functioning schools. Yes, indeed, Jesus cares for children, and we as his disciples must do so as well. But there's another interpretation of this passage. It's one that I think may be even more true. Jesus hints at it in the phrase, "For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs." Here we have the boundary-breaking, upside-down nature of God's kingdom displays, because Jesus isn't saying the kingdom is only made up of those who happen to be 18 years of age and younger. What Jesus is up to here is not an idealization of childhood. It's a symbol. Jesus uses those with the lowest status in society to show us who is truly embraced by God. It's an act of disruption, elevating those at the bottom of the ladder, flipping the expectations of the disciples in a way that encourages radical welcome and a new mental orientation. It's difficult for us to shift our ways of thinking. After all, Jesus' own disciples didn't get it. They tried to protect him from those pesky children, but Jesus showed them another way, blessing the children, welcoming them into his embrace. Like those disciples, we too struggle with shifting our perspectives. So much of our world pushes other views. When it comes to stewardship especially, it's a pretty tough mental shift. advertisements overwhelm us. They even appear on our phones almost miraculously. After we talked about something, we get an ad about that thing. The world says over and over again, life consists in the abundance of our possessions, that it's the strong who are the best. But Jesus says, no, life does not consist in the abundance of our possessions. In weakness, there is strength. In vulnerability, there is power. Let the little children come to me. A few days ago, I was at a gathering of a group of guys about my age. In the sociological sense, we're all in what they call the emerging household phase. That means we've graduated from school, we've moved on from many years of living in apartments, and we've purchased our first houses. Several of these guys have young children, and at this gathering, for some reason, we got to talking a lot about money. We talked about our salaries and how those compared to those of our peers, about mortgage payments and saving for vacations and those ridiculous student loan payments. And then, and this was a few drinks in, I'll be honest, my friend John asked, "So Adam, don't you teach this stuff at the seminary? What does the Bible actually say about money?" Amen. We learn from all of God's creation, right? So my friend asked, what does the Bible talk about money? And I knew I was in dangerous territory because I wanted to keep these friends. And nothing kills a party like a lecture, though I happen to teach a course called Money and the Mission of the Church. So I took a deep breath and tried to summarize using a rough quote from one of my mentors. He says, "A study of money and possessions in Scripture makes clear that the neighborly common good is the only context for sustaining individual well-being." Or to put that another way, overall, Scripture teaches that money and possessions are to be shared in a neighborly way. Now, this is a fantastic group of guys. They're good friends of mine, and we're all doing our best to find our way through our 30s. But reflecting on the gathering that day, the next day, I couldn't help but be struck by the fact that while we had shared so much about our own personal financial struggles, no one, myself included, mentioned giving or community. In fact, that topic only came up when my friend who doesn't go to church asked about the Bible. That's the problem, the glorious challenge of discipleship. It's all-encompassing. It means Jesus is not just about caring for cute kids. Jesus is about changing lives, upending expectations for our budgets and for our whole lives. Jesus declares that the reign of God throws it all off balance, putting the last first, comforting the afflicted, blessing the vulnerable, calling us to love our enemy and wash the feet of our neighbor. Another friend of mine, Pastor Justin Landers, just recently came out with a book. It's a memoir of sorts. It's got a great title. Is That Poop on My Arm? Parenting While Children, While Christian. So Justin's book is full of great stories about the joys and the struggles of parenting and attempting to do so faithfully. And Justin tells the story of how one weekend he attempted to implement a basement toy clearing session for his family. You may have the same struggle that the Lindares family has at their house. Their basement is breeding toys. After Christmas and birthdays and Amazon Prime and grandparent visits, the toys had surpassed any reasonable expectation for a single family. So, to combat the issue, Justin invited his kids into an exercise, helping to give some toys away. So he put a bin in the center of the basement, and he explained that any toys his kids put in the bin would be donated to children without toys. And he waited and waited. And Justin writes, "What I thought was going to be an hour-long project to clean out and organize the basement turned into a frustrating week-long process. The kids put next to nothing in the bin. We examined every truck, doll, block, stuffed animal, board game, and book under our roof. Yes or no, give unto others or keep for ourselves. And it turned out the typical vote was no. They ended up giving a few things away, but emphasis on the few." But to his credit, in Justin's telling of the story, he doesn't throw his children under the Fisher-Price bus. Instead, he recalls how he himself struggled when, after the kids went to bed, he went back to the basement and thought about putting a few items in the bin himself. And he picked up one of the toys, and he remembered his daughter at a young age playing with that very toy in her crib, looking up to him as he went to pick her up with this feeling of love and joy and compassion. And Justin said, "In that moment, I entered into the deep pain of my children. I was not ready to let that toy and that memory go." I find Justin's story helpful because, first, it serves as a corrective to how this gospel passage sometimes gets used. I don't think Jesus is suggesting somehow that children are more holy or to be welcomed somehow because of their lack of sinfulness. Believe me, every parent, or sibling for that matter, knows the reality of sin and childhood. By welcoming and blessing the children, Jesus is instead disrupting the expected order. He's not saying kids are without sin. He's pointing out the brokenness of a broader society. Second, in drawing these stories together, after the episode of the empty giveaway toy bin, my friend Justin and his wife Melody made a greater effort to teach their children how to give. When their children received money as gifts, even if it was from the tooth fairy, they developed rituals around sharing and saving and spending. And in time, they even ended up developing a family practice of donating a birthday to charity. It took some work. It was hard. But they said that was the work of discipleship in our family. In the coming weeks, this Christian community at Hope will learn about ways together you can live into your call to be disciples in this community. You'll be guided by the vision goals you have lifted up to cultivate roots in this neighborhood, to embrace all persons throughout their life journey, and to fuel authentic worship and deepen spirituality. Along the way, I bet you'll welcome plenty of children and plenty of pets, for that matter. And you'll also call each other to that difficult work of discipleship. The call to welcome in Christ young and old, stranger and friend, ally and opponent, poor and wealthy, first and last. For with hope in the kingdom of God, we're called to view the whole world through the lens of God's disruptive work. And when we do, our money and possessions become not just our own. As our eyes become open to Christ, who welcomes the unexpected, who blesses the vulnerable, and who inaugurates the kingdom. All power, honor, glory, and might be to God forever and ever. Amen.